back to another episode of the Bills Wire podcast brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. I'm your host, Rob Quinn. Today I'm here with Aaron Quinn yet again. How you doing today, Aaron?
I'm doing all right, man. Big news day for you.
Oh, absolutely. In case you haven't heard, the Buffalo Bills fired offensive coordinator Rick Dennison after just 1 year on the job. Aaron, what was your reaction when you saw that news break? I know we were in Slack talking about different topics that we were going to cover, and all of a sudden that news drops. The Bills are looking for a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I actually almost tweeted it out this morning. I had the tweet written out and I deleted it. I was going to put something out there like, you know, if the Bills don't fire Dennison by the end of the day today, I'm guessing that he's keeping his job. But it, to me, it sounded a little too no duh if they're not, you know, going into the weekend. And then a few hours later, they actually fired him. So I think the clock was ticking on the evaluation of him. I don't think they wanted to go into the weekend. So not entirely shocked, but they're definitely, you know, a case to be made. Either way, whether or not all the failures of the offense were on Dennison.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they had the 29th ranked offense, the 31st ranked passing offense, 176.5 yards a game, 22nd in points per game, just under 19. But what was fascinating to me about that point stat, out of the 302 points that the Bills scored, 168 were by the offense, not counting Steven Hauschka and obviously the defensive scores. So that's terrible. And another fact, in the last five games, they scored 18 points in the third and fourth quarter. Then you go to the wild card game against the Jaguars and they got a field goal. So Coupled with those play calls at the 1 yard line that people were going nuts about, the Mike Tolbert game against the Patriots, I think the writing was on the wall, don't you?
I do think it was. My biggest beef with him wasn't some of the plays that really stood out to fans. My biggest beef was the thing you just mentioned about the second half, the inability to adjust. I thought he called great first halves, getting moving the ball, especially in the second half of the season. But them just not being able to score points in the second half, not being able to adjust what the other defense was doing, just showed a big lack of experience in play calling. Once he was off his script, he just couldn't get a good rhythm for the game. And guys just weren't executing in his scheme. I know he tried some different stuff that wasn't his zone blocking scheme to try to get guys comfortable. And from there, it just didn't seem like, you know, he and the personnel were a good fit, and he couldn't really figure out how to use everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Going back to the beginning of the season, like you said, with the man blocking and zone blocking and then trying to combine them. And then I know at the beginning of the season you can kind of blame it, oh, Cordy Glenn's out. But then Deion Dawkins comes in and he's playing phenomenally. And so he really didn't have any excuses. Then you have Tyrod Taylor having his worst season in the 3 years that he's been with the Bills. He threw for less than 3,000 yards and only 14 touchdown passes. McCoy got off to that slow start. He picked it up, but is that really a factor of his scheme, or is it the fact that they ran the ball the fourth or sixth most time in the league?
Yeah, I think Shady's going to do his thing no matter what scheme he's in. I know there was talk about that under Roman. Is this guy going to fit Anthony Lynn? Is he going to fit all these different schemes just because of his style? I think he can find a way to get his yards no matter what. And like you said, it was a volume thing towards the end of the year as they ramped up the run game.
Definitely. I know we will miss those Mike Tolbert slants. I will never forget them. But let's look ahead. Immediately after the news broke that Dennison was fired, all these names started popping up. And Alex Marvez of SiriusXM Radio and Sporting News said that Mike McCoy and Rob Sadzinski are the front runners for the job. Now, they both have familiarity with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott from their stints with the Carolina Panthers. What do you know about these guys, and are you excited to have those kind of coaches come, or do you think they're kind of just retreads that McDermott might feel comfortable with?
Yeah, so Chuds, the only thing I really know about him, I would say his full name, but I'll probably butcher the Zinski part, Chudzinski. And so what I know about him is when he was in Cleveland, people were, you know, he got that job and people said, this guy's pretty innovative. We'll see what he can do with this offense. Obviously, Cleveland is not a great place to judge coaches by. They have a lot more problems than just the coach. You know, there's big issues with that organization. So hard to judge him by his time in Cleveland. But I remember them talking about how, you know, innovative he was there. McCoy, I know, was McDermott's top choice for offensive coordinator the last time around, and people talked about how he had built that list over years waiting for his head coaching job. So to me, I think McCoy's probably going to get the edge if that was the guy McDermott wanted all along, and he's a, you know, he talks about detail oriented notes and all that stuff, so there's a reason he wants him. McCoy, the only thing that scares me is they talk about how complex of offensive systems that he tries to run, and maybe he is going to overdo it a little bit. But like you said, I do like the idea. I know people probably want a young, innovative offensive coordinator, but I do like the idea of having a guy that's called plays before. That was an issue with Dennison, so I like the idea of McDermott knowing that there's a guy that knows how to call plays in this league, has been through game situations, some playoff experience in McCoy. That intrigues me quite a bit. It allows McDermott to be a little more hands-off.
Yeah, definitely. About Chud, it's a little nostalgic for me. The offensive coordinator of the greatest team ever, the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. It's really difficult to coach a team that has Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, Roscoe Parrish. I mean, but he found a way, you know? That's tough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, with the Browns, it's not exactly a good measuring stick of how good of a coach you can be. But he is familiar with McDermott with the Panthers, and I do like that he has a lot of experience coaching quarterbacks. As for McCoy, looking back at some of the offensive ranks that he's been a part of, they're all over the place. With the Broncos, right. He's definitely a West Coast offensive guy, but he kind of regressed every season that he coached. He was the offensive coordinator with the Broncos from 2009 to 2011. Wasn't great there. Then his first year in San Diego was unbelievable. They were top five in almost every category. And then he slowly fell off when he was head coach. I think he finished 38-28 and then went back to Denver last year and was fired. So, like you said, maybe it was the complexity. Maybe it was the fact that he had Paxton Lynch and these quarterbacks. And Simeon. You never know with coordinators, really. It's a lot of personnel. It's a lot of scheme. It's definitely a blend of that. But we're already getting comments on these posts like, is this all they're doing? And who else would you rather have at this stage? The top guys are pretty much hired. Those young, right, innovative college coaches, they're either retained with their schools or already have their jobs. But these are guys that McDermott obviously knows, feels comfortable with. And like you said, McCoy was on his list of coordinators that he wanted when he put together his binder and of his plan.
Yeah, and I do think for him it's going to be important this time around to have somebody that's called plays. I know people don't want to hear the retreads, and they do want a fancy name attached to the offensive coordinator position, but I think Dennison was a little bit learning on the job. You saw the transition. They blamed it on an injury to the quarterback's coach, but the transition from in the booth to on the field, and there just seemed to be issues with his game call, you know, calling the game outside of the script, and I think that's something that McDermott wants to address this year. And I think if I'm trying to think like him, he's thinking a guy that's done it in the league before, has shown success, whether or not it's sustained success. He discusses how hard that is to achieve in the league, especially when you're changing teams and stuff. So I do think it's going to be down to one of these two guys. I know Shula's name's been tossed around, but he has much less success than either one of those top two names.
Definitely. And I mean, obviously it's hot to have your young, innovative guy, but Chip Kelly was that. And with the Bears, what was his name?
Tressman.
Mark Tressman, the QB whisperer.
Right.
And look how those guys panned out. Right. It doesn't always work. So
Gase in Miami.
Exactly. You know, Gase is another one.
Offensive mastermind, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you never really know. And I think with these coaches, comfort level is just as important as these great schemes, because schemes don't work without players, as we learned with Rex Ryan. You're not going to fit a square peg into a round hole. So if he's comfortable with them, after what McDermott did in his first year as the head coach, I don't see how we can't give him the benefit of the doubt in choosing an offensive coordinator when he fired the exact person that fans were calling for to be gone.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, too, because this is really is the perfect time. I think that is what ultimately does it in for Dennison, is they're pretty clear that Tyrod's not their option for quarterback. Whether or not he's on the roster, that remains to be seen. But it's pretty clear that they're moving on to try to find a franchise quarterback. So you bring in an offensive coordinator and kind of allow him in on that process in the draft room, talking about a guy that he wants to work with to set up for success. Probably the worst thing they could have done is just kept Dennison on, give him another year, and allow him to work with a first-year quarterback or bring in a vet, and it's not quite the fit that they want. So that's a good fit. And some of the other things are going to be interesting to see how the trickle-down of Dennison being fired affects the other position coaches on the team. You know, is the new offensive coordinator going to be allowed to come in and bring in some of his guys to teach his offense, or is he going to have to stick with some of the guys that, you know, like a Juan Castillo, who was brought in by McDermott? You know, where's that loyalty lie for McDermott? Well, that's all for today's show, guys. Thanks for coming and listening to Rob and I talk about the Rick Dennison firing here. Make sure you head over to BillsWire.com, bookmark it, check it out. All kinds of news coming out over there. You got breaking down options for Tyrod Taylor in the NFL offseason by Rob Quinn. We got top four candidates to replace Rick Dennison as Bills OC. Definitely going to want to check that one out. A look ahead at four wide receivers the Bills need to target in 2018, and a ton of other stuff regarding the offensive coordinator coaching, Bills moves that they're going to have to make in the offseason, all kinds of content coming up daily for you over there at BillsWire.com. Check us out on Facebook. You can find it by searching The Bills Wire. You can find us on Twitter at The Bills Wire. You can find Rob Quinn. It's Rob Quinn 619, and myself, Aaron Quinn 716. Find us on Twitter. We're over there spreading the news all the time. And now you can also find us on Instagram at The Bills Wire. Something new that we're bringing here to The Bills Wire, some Instagram stuff. So come over there and join that community on that side of things. Don't forget to find us on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, give us a 5-star review. We love to see that. It helps us out a lot. And thanks for listening. We're going to be rolling out a lot of podcasts here coming up. So make sure you get over there and subscribe. And like I said, leave us that 5-star review. We're very appreciative of that. And we'll catch you on the next one, guys. Thanks.